This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. With 1 week till Election Day, one of the best-known Texans in the nation has a suggestion for the rest of the country. Start thinking about the day after. Joining us in the Texas Standard studio, veteran broadcast journalist Dan Rather, whose documentary, which debuts tonight on Mark Cuban's Access cable network, raises a question which hasn't been fully thought through, even assuming a Clinton victory. Mr. Rather, why should Americans of all stripes continue to care about the Trump phenomenon?
People should care because the morning after the election, whether Donald Trump is elected or not, and I agree that odds aren't right now for Hillary Clinton, but who can say, a very volatile election, that Donald Trump, whether you like him, don't like him, or don't quite know what to think, he represents the feelings of a very large swath of the American population. He will get no less than 36% of the vote, could get 42% or even more of the vote. And if we have any hopes of having healing and a reunifying of the country, then what Trump represents, whether you like him personally or not, we're going to have to deal with. That's why you should care.
Let me ask you about something that I would think that you would care a lot about as a veteran newsman. There's been quite a bit said about the way that Donald Trump has been dealing with the media at his rallies, pointing them out as liars, dishonest, and sort of, in fact, there has been quite a bit of heckling and boos of the media, sort of press.
There's some outright threats, no question about
it. How does that compare with when you were a journalist, and it wasn't easy being, I mean, you remember the nattering nabobs of negativism from Agnew.
Well, there's really no comparison to the Nixon-Agnew years in which the press was regularly attacked. But let's see this clearly. And I'm not advocating against him, but you need to see clearly. Donald Trump has said, if elected, he will punish those institutions of journalism that he thinks have been against him. He's warned the Washington Post. We've never had a presidential candidate or anybody in the presidency, even during the worst of the Nixon-Agnew time, who were that out front by saying, in advance, I'm going to punish the press for doing their job. This has been by far the nastiest campaign we've ever had in the whole history of the country. Mm-hmm. I'm fond of saying, because it's true, it's nasty enough to gag a buzzard. That you have to go back to 1824, Andrew Jackson and Adams' election, to find anything that compares to it. So what I'm talking about here is that people need to see clearly where we're going. Now, as a lifetime reporter, look, I've made my mistakes. Nobody does journalism perfectly. I have plenty of wounds, some of them still open wounds, some self-inflicted wounds as a journalist. But I think I said to you last time I was here, because I believe it so strongly, a free and independent, fiercely independent press when necessary is the red beating heart of freedom and democracy. Now, whether the new president is Trump or Clinton, two, in my opinion, flawed candidates, and by the way, in press relations, I'm not giving any false equivalency here, but candidate Hillary Clinton hasn't held a full news conference for more than 2 years, I think. So here's the point, that we either subscribe to the idea that we need a free and independent, fiercely independent and necessary press, or we need a press that cowers. I recognize that this is a struggle, and I emphasize again, you know, journalism is not a precise science.
Sure.
It is, on its best days, a kind of crude art, and nobody can do it perfectly. But we need to imagine what a country would be like if you didn't have the press asking tough questions, if we didn't have a press doing deep digging, investigative reporting, what kind of country we would have.
You know, you think about the couple of real, those stories that really did make a huge difference in this election cycle. One of them was the Access Hollywood tape, which the Washington Post went to press with. Right. Of course, there have been others, New York Times stories. A lot of this deep digging being done by the newspapers, which have been written off.
Well, exactly. And look, I subscribe to the idea and the ideal, and most journalists I know do, of play no favors, pull no punches. On the other side, many of the revelations about the Clintons' charity work and how it overlapped into their government work was exposed first by the press. That the press's job is to walk down the street and, if necessary, knock out windows on both sides of the street. And that's the spirit of the American press, and we don't want to lose that. So, you know, this is a difficult case to make with people sometimes, because people get frustrated by what mistakes they see myself and others in journalism make. But it's a classic case. We don't want to throw away our clear value of what a free and independent press means and throw it completely aside because some people, including myself, make mistakes.
I have to ask you about something, and this is completely unrelated. We're out of time, and I feel like we could talk about the history of journalism and where it's going for hours. But I was reminded that back in the mid-80s, I guess it was, for a short period, you used to end your evening news with courage. And you took some flack for that, I suppose. These days, how would you end the nightly newscast if you were still sitting in that chair?
I would end it with courage. It was my late father's favorite word, which is the reason I went to it. And some great philosopher once said that of the virtues, of the classic virtues, courage is the most important because all other virtues flow from courage.
That's the voice of longtime CBS newsman Dan Rather, who's anchoring a documentary which debuts tonight on Mark Cuban's Access cable channel. America Divided, The Rise of Trump Nation is the title. Mr. Rather, thanks so much for stopping by.
Well, listen, thank you very much for having me. Godspeed.